Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Book Strategies with me, Dawn, on the Female Solution, Worldwide Radio and TV Network. I'm the author of Success Strategies for Black People, and I host the annual blogging carnival for nonviolence. And I'm your host for today and on the first Sunday of every month. Here on the Success Strategy Show, we seek to help you and support you to find solutions to your problems. We're here to help you make 2022 your best year yet. Today, discussing racial and gender health inequalities. My guests today are Riata, one of my sisters of the microphone, who is a doula or midwife, and she'll be coming on and talking about how women can take back their power in controlling the birthing process from beginning to end to make it more safe and less costly. Also, we will touch on how women can empower themselves by learning more about how exactly to chart their body cycles so that there are no accidental pregnancies. We will also have guests from thebirthplace.com. Their website says the birthplace is not just about safely delivering a baby. It's about making your 9 months of pregnancy as comfortable, beautiful, and memorable as possible. To speak with my guests, and if you have any questions for my guests, please phone in on 515-605-9325. Then press 1 to speak to the host, which is me, Jana. If you're outside of the United States, you need to put 001 in front of that. So it's 001-515-605-9325. Then press 1. You can also join us on Facebook at The Female Solution and on YouTube at The Female Solution. Sorry, I'm just going to break up a cat fight. Now, hopefully.
No cat, y'all. Yeah.
My cats barely get in, but occasionally they do fight. And my little boy is so much bigger than his sister, so I have to be careful that he doesn't hurt her. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Today we're continuing our discussion from last month about racial and gender health inequalities. I've been reading up on this, and there are loads and loads of articles about the subject. And I'm sure you're aware that women patients often experience gaslighting from doctors and other clinicians. But did you know that female clinicians also experience gaslighting from other clinicians? And we know that patients sometimes, yeah, exactly. Wow. Thank you for that. And we know that patients sometimes experience racism. But did you know that healthcare workers also experience racism from other clinicians? And there is a study that said that many women's health issues are likely to be misdiagnosed or dismissed by doctors as something less critical. One study published in Academic Emergency Medicine found that women who went to the emergency room with severe stomach pain had to wait almost 33% longer than men with the same symptom. Last month, we looked at a few stories, and I'm going to touch on a few more stories, but let me bring in my guests because I've got a couple people on the line. I've got, nice to speak to you, Naima. Naima's my executive producer. Nice to speak to you again. And I've got someone on the line from area code 773. Would you like to say hi?
Yes. Well, Zana, I have here with me on Facebook Live, and that's my number on the switchboard, 773-366. I want to make sure that we're connected, that our audio is connected to our Facebook guests who are joining us. Now, the people from the birthplace, they've got to teach a class at this time, but we've got a wonderful video that we're going to share with our listening and viewing audience in which they talk about the birthing process. And I've got a special treat for us, Coco Ulysses. She did a wonderful post on Facebook. She is a doula who just delivered her grandchild and shared the beautiful experience with us. So she's joining us live on Facebook along with our dear sister Viata, and we're going to just have a wonderful time. One of the things I was explaining to our listening and viewing audience before the show is the fact that we used to have control of the birthing process. I was to my 99-year-old mother, who I every now and then I'll ask her some questions about her life. She remembers the name of the midwife who delivered her 99 years ago, and she was delivered at home of her siblings. So giving birth is not a medical procedure. We've allowed the healthcare industry to make it one, and we've allowed them to charge us a whole bunch of money, and then, as you pointed out, a lot of times make a whole lot of mistakes or just carelessness, particularly caring for us. So this is why this is going to be a powerful show. So let me, of course, greet our sister Viata, who we so much enjoy her Friday show. And let me bring on our beautiful sister, Coco Ulysses. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show with our host live from London, Zana.
Wow. Thank you for having me. What an honor. It's an honor to be here.
Congratulations, Coco, on the delivery. Oh, that's so exciting. I can't wait to hear about it.
Oh, wow. It's very surreal.
Yeah, I bet.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Birth is a surreal, amazing, divine process that if you get to participate in it, it's like, wow. I know my first doula support was in the hospital. Was just the most, it was almost traumatic the way things turned out. But the baby was born vaginally, the baby was healthy, but all the things that went on before, a mother's on her cell phone while she's in labor, you know, just not conscious. And it was like, whoa, this is not the way things are supposed to be. But let's bring in some essential oils, okay? And, you know, if you don't have support systems in place, then anything can happen in a birthing situation. That's why I really promote being a doula or promote having a midwife present. If at the beginning, day one, you're pregnant, let's find a midwife and a doula is how I believe.
Yeah. It's important. It's speaking as a doula, it is the one thing besides family that is consistent. And if practiced in the way that is, of course, within the guidelines of the work and the scope of the work, and also with the mother's wishes intact and her leading that charge, balanced with support, education, and showing her that in this process, while baby is still in utero, that this is the beginning stages of it, and you're learning through this process, and by me empowering you to know what your options are is the one of the most amazing gifts you can give to another woman is just the you know what is real, what isn't real, and how to say things in a way, make decisions so that you are back in charge, whether it's a home birth or whether it's a hospital birth. There's certain things, of course, you all know, that are not possible in those particular settings. But I just act as a navigation tool for the family able to have as much control as possible in those settings and what their options are.
Right.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
It was beautiful the way you put that. And Jenny Joseph is a midwife here in the Orlando area. She owns her own birthing center. She came from the UK, so I don't know if Zana has heard of her, but she actually was trained in the UK, and she moved to America, the United States, and opened a birthing center here in Orlando. And she teaches about knowledge, having knowledge, that the knowledge you give to the mother for those whole 9 months, it's so important because it will help her relax and have peace about it and not fear, because a lot of women go into labor with fear of not knowing what's going on with their body and how to respond. It's so key.
Right.
I remember talking to a woman over the phone who is due any day now, and she was a little concerned about C-section. And whether she didn't want a C-section, she wanted a natural birth. And the one thing I told her is just focus on communicating with that baby, because that you and that baby are in a partnership to bring that baby out. It's not about you alone. The baby is there consciously, soul level, to help you birth, bring the baby out. And thank goodness she had a natural birth, and she contacted me later and said one of the things she focused on was not just connecting, communicating with the baby, but music. She had music going with the labor process. So if we as doulas can just educate women before they get pregnant, while they're pregnant, and in the delivery room, then we can go back to healthy pregnancies and healthy births in the Black community and every community.
John, I got a question for you, because you talked about, like, last time, you know, the extreme numbers of women that were having difficult births, dying in childbirth, which I thought, you know, nobody does that anymore. This is the modern times, supposedly.
Right.
You know, so do they have, you know, doulas, midwifery, is that something that is encouraged, and is it supported by the insurance industry there? What happens in the UK with women going into childbirth?
Now, that's an excellent question. I don't necessarily have an answer, but I do know that midwives are commonplace in NHS hospitals. But I also know that because there's such a shortage of healthcare workers now, between leaving the EU and the pandemic, we have lost so many healthcare workers, and the ones that we still have are horribly burnt out and exhausted. So I have heard stories where, like, every time that she goes to her, they call it antenatal here, but every time she goes to her prenatal or antenatal appointment, she sees a different midwife. Mm. So that means that she doesn't get to know the midwife. The midwife doesn't get to know her, right? And then when she goes into labor, she may have yet another midwife that she's never set up on before, which I think is just awful. I think it's just horrible. So get Riatka. Sorry, thanks so much for joining us. I'm going to give you guys a few more stories, and I would like to know can you tell me of any racial or gender inequalities you personally have witnessed?
Is that a question for me? Who is that for?
Well, I guess both of you, whichever one wants to go yes. first. Have you noticed any gender or racial inequalities?
Absolutely. It's just, you know, you just got to ask the question in what regard, because even with this particular birth of my granddaughter, she was not even finished being triaged. She was, attached to the monitors, and this resident came in and offered her Pitocin.
That's
and my
drug,
daughter
right?
said, why? And her explanation was, well, we want, you know, she went in and got backup, and so she went and got the OBGYN that was on call, who wasn't her doctor. Her doctor, she had a great relationship with, I met, she was ill. And, then the backup came in to offer her suggestion. She said, well, if we were to give a letter grade to your baby right now, she's getting a B and she should be at an A. We just want to see a little bit more activity to move things along. So my daughter shocked me and surprised me, and I felt so proud and explained that she had made progress and she was at 1 centimeter when she had her appointment, and now she's at 3.5. I am progressing. And the World Health Organization states that too many women have cesareans because of interventions that are offered too early during the labor. I could have
right.
passed out.
You ran it, huh?
She ran her.
Woo!
And did you know that when it was time for her to deliver, she had a team of the most powerful women of color. I've never been in a room where the OBGYN that was catching, I don't deliver, mothers deliver. I don't use that terminology to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm support and a liaison. But that team was so seamless, and she said she had prayed those two women away. Those women were white women, and I see that all the time, no options, but I also saw and witnessed when I was, you know, I'm always saying that I'm retired and I can't retire because this is my ministry. So, but this was back during when my semi-retirements, when I was just volunteering and I wasn't working full-time as a doula, I had a birth of a woman. It was a white woman, Caucasian woman. Let me be accurate. And it was a beautiful birth. She would not let me home. But she also, when she came in her birth plan, she stated that she wanted to self-hydrate. And they honored everything with no resistance. But I've also had a couple, a married couple of color, an attorney and an engineer, ask for their placenta. And you would have thought that the board of directors were going to come into the room to ask why.
Wow.
Wow.
So my job is to empower and to educate so that people make educated decisions.
Right,
and
right.
to be an advocate, but also a liaison, because I do need them to work with me. So I don't
right.
come in as an adversary. I'm come in as a helpmate to the workers in there, but I also empower mothers and families so that they know exactly what is being said to them and why it's being
right.
said.
Right.
So, 24 hours for a first-time delivery is normal, but a hospital will never let you go on without offering any interventions when it comes to Pitocin, cesarean section, because it's a numbers game.
Mm. So Pitocin, for those who may not be, first of all, let me ask two definitions. One, can you explain what triaging is? And then also, Pitocin, what drug, what is that drug supposed to do?
You want to take that one?
Yeah. Yeah. Yada, can you give us a definition of what it is to triage, you know, a woman who's about to give birth, and what is the drug supposed to do?
I'm not as familiar with the term triage. I think Coco would be better, because I haven't had that in a birthing experience yet. And something you would learn with more experience as a doula, and my experience as a doula is only a couple of years. So, and then Pitocin is just a drug that that numbs the pain, I believe. It helps reduce, Pitocin helps to expand.
Pitocin increases the contraction.
Right.
Oh. And those things, but the feeling and the sensation that a mother experiences with Pitocin can make her feel like she's in the last stages, like when she's moving from 7 to 10 centimeters, when she's actually only in the early stages. So it's difficult to handle and control them because they are produced. Now, sometimes it's necessary, sometimes it's not. I am not more of a person that is into integrative medicine. And that, and in that education, then you're making informed decisions on what are the benefits and liabilities when it comes to any of these things. But Pitocin is to speed up the process, and it's also used after the woman delivers in a hospital setting, where again it's about getting mothers moving things fast along to also make to assist in the uterus contracting and coming back down the size after the placenta has been delivered.
And they usually make that decision as they're monitoring the baby's heartbeat and the baby internally. They're going to make a decision whether we got to speed this up because the baby's heartbeat's slowing down, right?
Right. It could be a variety of reasons why it is offered, but to offer. So triage is just when you're coming into any hospital, whether you're going in labor, it's not a labor and delivery term. It's the process of registering to get you to move you to your room that you're going to be in for an extended time. It's like we're getting the basic vitals, and then we're going to transfer you to a room that you're going to be in, that you're going to also probably more than likely deliver in if you're having a natural birth. That's what triage is. So it's like when you come into the hospital and you're in the emergency room and they're checking your vitals before you actually go back to see the doctor. You usually are not offered any drugs at that place.
Yeah.
And the language that you use to a mother and a first-time mother saying that your child is a letter B, I don't think was
appropriate. Yeah.
It's appropriate.
So great, a baby.
All of that is just an awareness for us to move to home birth or other alternative birthing centers, because the medical system is a business. The medical system is a business first and foremost. You take you go into a hospital to have your baby, you're entering a business environment. They're going to give you the drugs to make money. They're going to offer you triage, like you said, might be different in every hospital. So you got to be aware that everybody's not going to follow your expectations as a mother who wants to bring forth a healthy baby, have a healthy delivery. That may not happen, and chances are it won't happen in a hospital setting because it's a business. It's a business.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I just spent 12 hours in the hospital this past week, and believe me, I admire the business operation of it. But they are not in it for your personal healing, development, peace, calm. They're going to give you drugs to make you peaceful. So I wanted to just add the psychology of adjustments. If you have people present in your delivering and your labor that you are not happy with, you mentioned that sometimes you have a different midwife. I think Zana mentioned that women they may not have the same midwife, right? So what is your adjustment to that is you got to put your power back. This woman is not the one who is totally responsible for you having a healthy pregnancy. You have the mother has partial responsibility for the pregnancy, and sometimes we give our power over even to the midwife. And the doula is there also. So if you have a doula-midwife relationship from the very beginning that you are happy, that's the whole purpose, right, Coco? In the, from the very beginning, get to know your doula and your midwife so that when labor comes, you're not worried about, is this woman going to be present for me? Is she going to support me? Is she going to be the one to help me get this baby out? No, no, no. It's you, mama, psychologically being sovereign, taking the power back that you were given from the beginning, that this is a partnership between you and that baby inside of you to get come out with a beautiful experience. And we've lost that. We've lost that because we don't have enough men or women teaching women about perfect, healthy pregnancy and delivery. And Jenny Joseph, who we're going to hear from, I think Naima has a video, talks about maternal toxic zones. I got to know Jenny a few years ago when I was training to be a doula. She's an amazing woman from the UK, a black woman from the UK. I was like, you're what black woman from the UK? I got to know her. She works with women of all colors. She doesn't discriminate in her birthing center as far as having all black women. No, no. She has women of all colors, religions, everything. They're qualified. That's the one thing I admired about her birthing center. Everyone in that center was qualified because she's very meticulous about eliminating maternal toxic zones. She has a passion for it. And she has several YouTube videos on file that you can learn more about her. But she's excellent, excellent person to learn from because of her experience as a midwife. I think she's been doing
I've been getting paid $1,000 a month.
Wrong button here. Yeah, I think that is a critical thing for us to know. We have the power to feel, we have the right to feel comfortable. And if somebody's constantly changing the person who's dealing with you, that's a feeling of disrespect. It's like, well, it doesn't matter, you're just a body. You know, but birth is such a personal thing. If you have to keep changing people, and each person, they don't really know you, they don't know the history of what you've gone through.
Exactly.
It isn't the same. You know, it just seems like it would be very impersonal, and they wouldn't be listening to you. You know, I don't know, Izana, maybe women have given feedback as to how that feels if you have to keep changing people, and it's very disempowering. People can easily dismiss you when you tell them something that the last person was aware of, but they aren't aware when you try to tell them, and they just, oh, no, no, we're going to do it this way, you know, because they don't know.
And if you have a different person with every appointment, then there's no continuity. And you might have to start going through the same information again. Sorry, there's a bit of background noise. Hopefully that's going to stop soon. I want to run through a few of these stories before we take a commercial break. So we're going to touch on a few more stories. One black female patient hid a tape recorder in her hair, right? She hid a tape recorder in her hair because she did not trust the doctor who had made unhelpful and insensitive remarks to her. She started crying when he told her how long the waiting list was. And he said to her, you'll have to wait like everyone else. When she hid the tape recorder in her hair, she taped him making racist comments about her body. Now, you see, this is what I call kind of guerrilla, being a guerrilla patient, right? Being an underground patient, she had to hide a tape recorder in her hair. We talked last month about the fact that in the UK, black women are 4 times more likely than white women to die in childbirth or within 6 weeks of childbirth, as are white women.
Same stats are in the U.S. Yeah.
Wow, that's awful.
That was in the UK. Okay. I also mentioned that this is true in the States as well, and I promised to post some links. Black women are more than 3 times more likely than white women to die in pregnancy or postpartum than white women. Just to be clear,
wow.
This is according to the CDC, since it's for the disease control.
I wanted to touch on the thing that was discussed about changing midwives. In a study that is, you know, whether
whether you're a doula or a midwife, it is very important for there to be more than one individual. I'm not saying like seven or eight, but we have to take into consideration that there are emergencies that may come up in a midwife or a doula's life. And
right.
I usually work with a backup doula in case I have an emergency, and that's to honor the fact that I am a human. Because sometimes we can have these supernatural abilities when we and tendency to be superwomen in this regard, and sometimes neglect ourselves. There's a choice whether you just had a loved one pass away and you have somebody that is there, you know, their due date is the day after. It's probably to implore your backup doula for that particular birth. So I'm of the narrative that there should be a team in case of an emergency. But what is on the table is that this is supposed to be the one. In case she doesn't have an emergency, she's going to be there for your birth.
That makes
and
sense.
You are bonding. So,
right.
So team players have a point in maybe one or maybe not as the same amount of visits that you would have with your main doula or your main midwife, but you definitely know that person. So it's not a culture shock when there is an unexpected emergency that arrives and they have to be there and participate in the catching during your delivery.
That's important to communicate that to the mother.
There's
a possibility that I may not be here for you when the time for that baby to be born. I replaced a doula who in the hospital who had been in there for 12 hours with this mother.
Wow.
She called the center and said, I need to go home and rest. And so they asked if anyone was available to come and relieve her at the hospital. This woman had been in labor for 12 hours, and I was available. So I said, sure. I was like 15 minutes away. I said, sure. So I go into this hospital room where she's been in labor. The dad's sleeping on the sofa. She's nodding out because I think they had started to give her Pitocin or something. But I come in there, and I just start praying because I'm like, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? This is new. I have never met this woman before.
Wow.
What I did was offer her essential oils. That's my favorite go-to for labor problems or anything.
Mm.
And I offered her like two or three different essential oils. She chose peppermint oil. And then we started bonding. So, you're so right, Coco. Expectations. Mama has to know that there
something
might be some things that come up. And I want you to be aware. She's not worried or afraid, and you're right. A team, we got it. We had a team ready here in Orlando, so all she had to do is say, "Hey, I need a break. Is there anybody who can replace me? I'm here. I'm there." And we both were there when the baby came out. We were both there.
Oh, that was beautiful.
So you're right. Sometimes you need two doulas, and if the midwife is not around, then you got the mama has to feel at rest and peace that it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You and the baby connect, and we're here, two doulas, one doula. We're going to just be here to pray for you and help you and motivate you, and it'll be okay. That's why it's important to have doulas, because
Absolutely.
We're there to support them.
Absolutely. Well, Jana, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear some more of the stories you want to share with us, and then we'll share the video with the birthing place, because
right.
You know, we have to
solution.
Take back
we got
our
the
power.
Solution.
Absolutely.
We got the solution.
Well, we'll be right back after this quick break. We want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We're talking about healthcare disparities and how we can take back our power, especially over the process of birthing our children. We'll be right back after this quick break. So stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesday, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesday, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursday, Soul Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. Friday, Health and Being with Dr. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605.
to the end of our show today.
Susan Essentials is re-engineering what health looks like by leading you to the best wellness initiatives in the world. Start your coaching plan today and create a new paradigm of health. Click here to learn more.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Okay, we're back.
Yes.
We're back. Okay, so lovely having these guests on today who are very knowledgeable. And I've got another caller on the line. Before we go to the next call, I'd just like to share a few of these stories with you. First one, according to the CDC, that's the Centers for Disease Control, Black women are three times more likely to die from a pregnancy-related cause than white women. Multiple factors contribute to these disparities, such as variation in quality health care, underlying chronic disorders, structural racism, and implicit bias. So that's from the CDC. And I want to mention Louisiana. Louisiana is a special case because Senator Bill Cassidy stated that if you correct our population for race, we're not as much of an outlier as it otherwise appears, as it would otherwise appear, right? In other words, if you don't mention the fact that the majority of the women who are dying in childbirth or postpartum are women, are black women, then we don't have a problem, right? Just don't mention race. This is what you're saying. If you cover up the fact that it's black women, and black people are a third of the population, officially black people are a third of the population of Louisiana. So if you cover up the fact that it's black women who are disproportionately dying, if you leave out this detail, then Louisiana statistics line up with those of the other 49 states.
Wow.
This is, yeah, can you believe this? This is a senator talking. Another story. This woman, there's a woman who went to the hospital in excruciating pain, and she was told she had fibroids, even though she had already had a hysterectomy. And the doctor insisted that she was wrong. In other words, you only think you had a hysterectomy, right? It's all in your head. You didn't actually have one. Fortunately, the patient was then seen by her own GYN, who told her she had ovarian torsion, which can be fatal if left untreated. Ovarian torsion is when the ovaries have twisted and fallen from their normal position. But can you believe that? She goes to the hospital in agony, and they tell her, no, you didn't have a hysterectomy. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So anyway,
just like,
I'm gonna read.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. She's obviously too stupid to work out the fact that she hasn't had a hysterectomy, right? So I'm going to recap some of the stories I mentioned last month, not all of them, but these are not all about pregnancy and childbirth because it's kind of across the board. During the pandemic, it emerged that the devices that are used to measure oxygen levels do not work on black and brown skins as well as they work on white skins. So people with black and brown skins were turned away from hospitals because their oxygen levels appeared to be fine, and some people went home and died from this. It also emerged that, it also emerged that female patients, including women of color and men of color, are routinely offered different treatments than white people, especially white male patients. And this is true within different disciplines and across many countries. Women with coronary heart disease, vascular disease, and cancer, among other issues, are treated differently than male patients. And black male patients and male patients of color are not offered the same quality of care as white male patients. In treatment of heart issues, which is to say cardiac issues, this trend is very widespread. According to a recent article by Abbott.com, a recent white paper stated that a survey, Beyond Intervention, Patient Experience, and Health Equity, this was a survey of 1,289 people suffering from vascular diseases across 13 countries, along with 408 physicians and 173 healthcare workers. And they found that women with coronary artery disease and or peripheral artery disease reported more challenging experiences compared to their male counterparts in relation to access to healthcare, emotional factors surrounding healthcare interactions, and relationships with their physician. So I'm going to translate that. This is my translation, right? Doctors don't listen to us. Doctors do not listen to women patients. Other clinicians also do not listen to women patients, especially if you're black or if you're a woman of color. I also did some research regarding cancer care and discovered that there is a disparity in outcomes between black women and white women's outcomes in treating breast cancer. One reason may be that black women delay starting treatment because of financial issues. So these are life and death issues. Women, including women of color, are dying disproportionately. Men of color are also dying disproportionately. And I want to know why.
Deborah makes a comment here on Facebook, Jana. She said, in addition to, you know, when they ignore what you say, she said, and also they generalize you. Like, you know, they say, oh, well, you people always have this or you probably have that. Like, you're not an individual. And that happens, unfortunately, frequently.
So Jenny Jones, the midwife, a black midwife who came from the UK to the United States, was faced with all the statistics that Donna just mentioned. She was faced with that in the United States, and she was shocked to find the statistics that existed in the minority communities in the United States. So she was shocked. So what did she do? She started a birthing center. She realized that there was a lot of ignorance in the black community as far as access, having safety and quality to a birthing center or a doula or a midwife. And she came from the UK now, where midwifery was very popular. Unfortunately, in the United States, it's not popular. So she has started a movement here now where midwifery and doulas are growing in the United States. She also realized there were not enough connections where women could be comfortable and have eye contact, not with unconscious doctors. Most of them are out of a system that is unconscious. They don't care about women or anybody. They just care about making money. Mm. Then she realized there's a lot of ignorance, especially in the black community. We got to face up to that.
Well,
I started my training as a holistic professional. There were hardly any minorities in my classroom. I was the only black woman in most of the training classes I went in. So there's a lot of ignorance. And today there's no excuse. We got the internet.
Right.
So we need these centers now to bring people out of their ignorance and empower them. We gave our power. Let's just say that. Forget about all the statistics right now and just say we have given our power away to doctors, hospitals, where there is not a medical condition to have a baby, but we gave the power away to say, oh, we need a medical doctor to have a baby. So it's time to take our power back now, and that's what people like.
That's my question, right?
Both women and I have made a decision to participate as doulas to educate women, empower them, and comfort them, and whatever we need to do to bring back our power.
Yes. So, Jana, did you want to take this? Go ahead. Yeah, Coco, and then Jana, make me take your call, and then I'll share this video from the birth.
Across the country of black women who are trained to be midwives. And so I don't want the narrative to not include this part of history because I was a part, I am related because of my having home birth to a conglomerate of black women who were working on the underground, who felt like the first hands to touch our babies have to be black. This was happening in Chicago. It was also happening in Angeles, it was happening in a lot of places. So we may not know about that narrative, but I know that narrative, and I have worked with some of those women who were doing very revolutionary work from 1965.
Okay. This is part of our history.
Our numbers are there, but we just need to continue doing the work of the woman that you just spoke of and also of these other courageous women who made this decision a long time.
Because the reason
why I talk about these problems is because we need to be educated. We need to be aware of what's going on. And I want to know your thoughts about why don't we know these things already? Why is it so hush-hush? Why is it, have we given away our power? So we're going to come back to that. First, I'm going to call on this caller. He or she has had their hand up for a long time. I'm going to bring them in.
I've opened the mic for area code 314-677. You want to introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your question or comment for our host and guest?
I got a question, Naima. You made mention about 13 countries. What countries are you talking about? What countries is on that list, I wonder? And also...
Okay. I don't have the countries.
Yeah, what country is on the list?
Do you have it, or is this list for what?
For high mortality rates in childbirth? What was the list again?
The list is for, just give me a second. Well, it's a survey that was done, which is called Beyond Intervention, Patient Experience and Health Equity. So it's a survey of 1,289 people suffering from vascular diseases across 13 countries, along with 408
countries are those?
3 healthcare leaders. So if you Google this survey, Beyond Intervention, Patient Experience and Health Equity, I'm sure they will list the 13 countries.
Yeah, well, I was getting at is that if you're trying to talk about the disparity between blacks and everybody else, and they spreading it out across 13 countries, then you have to be going over to Africa where everybody's black, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know what countries they looked at. They might have been in Africa, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a flip of a coin. And if these women are not satisfied, why don't they get their goat help? Can't they have their own doctor?
I don't know the answer to that. If it's in African countries, that doesn't mean there's not health equalities. Inequalities within those countries.
Well, then that's an issue that has to be taken up with those countries. But here you're talking about women are not being treated right, however. But why don't they get another doctor? And it's not that, you know, I thought that when you go to the hospital or go to your normal place of treatment, they create a file for you, a folder file, where any doctor can pick up that file and get a general idea of the history of the complaints or the issues that you have.
They can, yes, absolutely. But that's not the same as knowing the patient. And that is not the same as the patient knowing the doctor.
Yeah, but you don't expect a patient to stick with the same doctor all their life, do you?
Well, in certain circumstances,
it's impossible.
My GP, ever since I moved to this neighborhood, I've had the same GP. I've lived in this neighborhood nearly 30 years now. So he knows my history. Yeah. Well, my favorite GP actually retired. No, sorry, he didn't retire. He went somewhere else because he was so fed up of triaging people over the phone. And by the way, to triage someone doesn't just happen in a hospital or maternity setting. It just means assessing the patient to work out who needs to be seen first, to work out the order in which the patient needs to be seen. It's based on the severity or what the patient is presenting with.
Yeah, but that is everybody, I would say, that has some experiences with medical treatments have that same experience, no matter what their skin color. You know, not even when your COVID hit, it was rumors in St. Louis that blacks did not have access to medical facilities. Well, that was proven to be a lie. In St. Louis City alone, and, you know, Needham County, there's over 35 health facilities. Some operate on a free and reduced pay schedule. So that there was proven to be wrong. And here's another thing. If you don't think that there's enough black doctors, then why come there's not efforts in your educational system to produce more black doctors?
Yeah, well, that's a very important question.
The majority of the black doctors in this country are probably Nigerian.
Okay, so Beata has answered to your question, Pianki, on that study.
Okay, I pulled up that study, and from a map that they're showing on the video, most of it was the United States and Canada where they did this research. There's a few countries in South America, not many. There's a few in, looks like Australia, and then there's very few in none in Africa. They didn't do any studies in Africa. They did some in the Middle East. According to this map, the map show, and there was some studies in China, and there were a few in Europe, but not one study, it looks like, was done in Africa. So mostly United States, western part of, or eastern part of South America, the whole Australia country, and these are places
Canada.
Where they have a heavy pharmaceutical, medical influence. So this study, it looks like from what I've scanned, is about promoting more medical intervention with patients, better relationships with patients and their doctors, and that's probably why they only did it in a few countries and not Africa, for one, and not Russia. So anyway, I hope that answers your question, Pianki.
Well, I don't understand the purpose of the study even mentioning that. Heck, we live in the United States, and we live in individual states, which are countries, really, and cities. So that's the only thing of your concern, is that in your own community that you have the proper facility, you can go choose a doctor. Now, of course, if you own some public aid, you give up that option. But if you got insurance or you got the ability to pay, you can choose your own doctor. I've done that when my daughter was born.
So was she born in a hospital? Was she born with midwife? How was your...
She was born in a problem with midwives. That sounds like a good idea. But who pays those midwives? How do they get paid?
They pay for about a family. I don't know. Does insurance pay for midwives? Do they pay for doulas?
Rarely. That depends on the insurance company. You have to that's part of the support. Communication and relationship that a mother needs to have with her doula and her midwife. Find out what the insurance company covers, and maybe Coco can talk about that as well. Find out from your own insurance company what's covered. If not, it may have to come out of your own pocket.
So, Coco, is that an issue that maybe excludes certain people from being able to be a part of the process, the fact that insurance may not cover it?
Yes, most.
And I got one more question, Naima.
Doulas are usually paid privately, or sometimes there's social service agencies that will provide doulas, and sometimes hospitals have connections to volunteer doulas.
What about midwives? Have you found insurance companies covering midwives?
Midwifery is covered in most major hospitals have nurse midwives. That's something that's been going on for lots of years.
So what's the difference between
I got one more question, Naima.
Midwifery is not synonymous.
Why come women, you want to say women, why come they don't?
Hold on, Bianca, before you ask the next question, hold on, she's still explaining about that, because I guess I was about to ask what is the difference between midwifery and doula.
I didn't want you to cut me off.
Okay, hold on. Oh, you got time, hold on. You got another whole hour of the show. Okay, go ahead.
Doula support for the mother. And they connect with the mother as soon as she discovers that she is pregnant. That's the optimal.
Okay.
And they are there until the mother breastfeeds. Midwives deal with the medical or the physical application of birth. They are synonymous. They do the same thing that an OBGYN, the only thing that they, I don't think they perform cesarean sections. Yeah, but they deal with the medical applications. Doulas do not check the cervix for dilation and effacement. That is something that a certified nurse midwife would do. That's something that a direct entry midwife would do in those regards. So, you know, there's different types of midwives, and there's different types of doulas. You have some doulas just work postpartum, and then you have some doulas that only deal with birth.
Okay.
Yeah, midwives have to be licensed, and doulas do not have to be. They
that's not true.
In Orlando,
is it different in different states?
Different with each state.
Right, right.
You can be a direct entry midwife, which is equivalent to the granny midwives of the South that are apprenticed under another midwife. It is legal in some states. In the state of Illinois, it's not illegal. There are. I am a certified doula. You can be a doula without certification, but there are a lot of certification programs that train doulas. Then you have private practice doulas. Then you have community-based doulas. So there's different levels, different types of entities in all of these particular entities.
That's true, and I'm looking more at Florida. You have to be licensed by midwife in Florida. Yeah.
Okay.
Now I got one more question, Naima.
Okay, before the break, Bianchi, you got one more question. Go right ahead.
Why come your patients aren't made to squat when they give birth? You know, when I go in temples and tombs in Egypt and you see these in the Mizi house, which is a birthing house of ancient times, you see carvings of women in the squat position. Even in Africa today, they have stools where women squat rather than laying up there on their back. Comfortable. Maybe that's why I come in labor so long. You think?
Yeah,
I don't know.
She gave birth
true.
Gravity helped, she said.
Yeah, I guess. Isn't that something that a doula or a midwife can decide if the woman wants to try that position? Because
well, the woman decides. Doulas and midwives don't decide for women. They decide with the doula. We used to help support whatever their decision is. And yes, if they're educated from day one, these are the options you have on how you can give birth. Most of the women I know or men who are trained as doulas or midwives, they will suggest and teach how squatting, not laying on your back for sure, I've never seen that, but definitely squatting, standing, more upright positions are better positions at birth. That's the problem with the medical system. Many of them are not giving women options. And that's what scares them, I think, sometimes. They don't feel like they have any options, whereas if they connect with a doula or midwife on a birthing center, they will see all the options they have, and then they can make better decisions, and they feel
that's
more
important.
Less stress.
Apparently, it was Couture who first wanted women to give birth on their back so he could watch his children being born.
Yeah, I heard that. That was the story behind that, because otherwise women were not giving birth on their back, because that is really an unnatural position. It doesn't help you use gravity to because that's why they call it catching the baby, because you're catching them because they're falling down. They're going downward because you are squatting. So that really was the ancient way of giving birth, and it did help the mother use the force of gravity,
yes,
so the baby,
yes,
can drop. I mean, all the terms that we've used, the baby dropping, catching the baby, that indicates that that was the position. The woman was facing downward as opposed to lying on her back and then having to be in labor so long. So
women need to demand that from hospitals at this,
yeah,
stage of the game. We should not have to go, women should not have to go in the hospital and do exactly as the doctors and all these people tell them, when there's all this research and experience and knowledge that says the best way to give birth is not on your back, but upright or bending over, and all the other positions that women have been given birth on your knees. If you've seen home births, these women are in these pools on their knees, leaning forward, and that baby's coming out the back, clipping out all on its own.
I've seen that. Water birth, yeah.
The hospitals need to come up to speed with current information. It's not even current, it's ancient.
Absolutely.
Ancient.
Go back to the old ways. Well, thanks so much, Pianki. We always appreciate your input. We got to take another break. And when we come back, Jana, we got the next caller at 111-111.
Okay.
Before you take that call, though, I'd like to share this video when we come back from the break from the birthing center, and take a look at some of the things that we do when we take back our power to take care of our health. So we'll be right back after this quick break. We want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
In to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Caller. Hi, welcome. Can you introduce yourself, please, Paula? Who's calling?
Oh, praise God, praise God. This is the day the Lord, Mother God, and Father God have made. Almighty God have made. Let us rejoice, my beautiful sisters, Viata and Naima, and all the other beautiful believers on the call. Let us rejoice and be glad and thankful for our blessings. Now, this is Brother Neil MacArthur, per your instructions. It was like Pianchi didn't do, but this is Brother Neil MacArthur from 5525 South Lafayette. My government name, I'm going to use my government name, my Booker T. Washington name, Tyler Sparrow, because that's what his T stands for. Tyler Sparrow to Neil MacArthur. And if you will allow me, Viata, because I'm going to address your beautiful comments that you made, because what the issue you're addressing is so important. And for Pianchi to finally chime in with that mess that he just can't retort, I'll just say it's intelligent, like Dr. Cornel West would tell me to say. His rhetorical questions and statements, why are the 13 countries? Why are they in the black doctors in America? They seem to be all in Nigeria. What's that got to do with the comments about women and these mothers and your birthing rights, man, and to bring life into the world, which is a miraculous, godly thing? What that got to do with any of the comments? See, usually, man, I'm glad he mentioned his daughter, because in the lodge, in the Masonic lodge, in the legal world, we say you open the door. So, because when I first talked to him on the phone, I met him through Naima after she started the show way back some years back, and he made some comments about he trained his daughter to bring back money. Was she an investment or something? Was your teacher to go out and trick? But anyway, if you don't mind, I'm gonna speak on the birthing issue, because it's so prevalent today. Because how your child comes in the world and the trauma it goes through and the trauma the mother goes through, you see what you talk to and the drugs they give them and all that, and then take your baby, you don't know where they done took it and what they done did to it, and got them lights on it all the time. And then he gonna talk about, it's 34 hospitals. Hey, look, Spain looks like a third world country.
Ooh.
A third world country. And you know what his spirit is? It's Samuel Jackson. His name was Stephen and Django. That's his spirit. I've been dealing with it. So that's the only reason he came on today, because he knew I was gonna come on. But that's about my location. Want me to share my location, like the song say? I ain't never been scared of a devil. United States Air Force, and like my brother George Bush say, nuclear, Pianchi, Uncle Tom, Miss Jane. So, and now I've addressed that. Thank you, and forgive me, God, for being ugly in this world, because they forget about the wrath of God. They mistake God. kindness, for weakness. Because my girl Harriet Tubman, whenever you ask the question, why does he put initials HT when he sends her a message? They don't know. Because it's Harriet Tubman. Naima Harriet, that's my alliance when I met her. And we went down 79th Street and we stopped and got some bean pies. And she loved them so much. I said, she ain't had no bean pies in a while. And then I took in there and she brought my love spirit out. She got that Harriet Tubman spirit, that warrior spirit. And I spent the whole day with her, rode around Chicago. I was driving slow because I wanted to be. She said, we can't go any faster. I said, you mean, oh, you want to see fast? You know, because every car is just out of my life. Had them all that them race car in there, because that's the way God blesses people. Because they brought my love spirit out, and then that Beyonce gonna come to me. Didn't give his name. They say he was from St. Louis.
So, Brother Neil, we appreciate that you are passionate on this issue, and you brought out definitely something that I'd like our guests and host to address. That is the fact that when you come into this world in a state of trauma, it affects your life. And a lot of times, no one thinks to ask once they give birth, where are you, baby? What are you doing? And we've been kind of conditioned to just do as we're told, which is probably why a lot of things happen that shouldn't. We are often too afraid to confront a doctor just because they have the title doctor, and we think that they are an authority, and maybe they're not. But I'm going to give them a chance to address some of the things you said, and thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate you. So he mentioned something that I want to address, Jean, if I may, before I play the video from the birthing center. I think sometimes we are conditioned out of fear to think that we're not smart enough to ask, or we're not smart enough to protest something we don't feel right about, or we're not smart enough to challenge a doctor. And so I think sometimes that's why women may be treated badly, or even, you know, black people may be treated badly. We've kind of been conditioned to just shut up and do as we're told. So I don't know, Coco, Deanna, what do you think about that, the reason why women don't speak up for themselves? And, of course, Coco, you watched your daughter aggressively speak up for herself, which was a great thing. But a lot of times women have been conditioned to just shut up and do as they're told. What do you think about that?
If we look at it just that way, then we are taking the responsibility for the lack of humanity in the medical system that does not see us as human. Mm. That's the core of it. It's racism. It's not just not feeling empowered, because if we were treated as humanity, we wouldn't need all of these advocates, because everybody would have equal care, because everybody would be treated the same. So it's twofold. We have to educate, empower, and then also eradicate racism in the medical system. I've experienced so much racism in hospitals. I used to suffer from migraine headaches for years, probably 6 years before I was healed. And I would have to make sure that I didn't come in my pajamas. I had to make sure that my hair wasn't looking crazy, because I would be treated as a drug-seeking heroin addict. And it also shows you how they treat people who have drug dependency as well. It's embedded in so many systems. And then when a woman goes alone, a woman of color goes into an emergency room alone, she is not going to get the same care if she doesn't have a man standing next to her. So we have that level of isms that we have to deal with too. That if there is nobody there to advocate for her, then we're not going to treat her with the care that she needs. I had gotten such poor treatment in an emergency room. When I reported it to the hospital head, I got the cell phone number to the head of ER that told me any time that I came to that emergency room to make sure that I called him. So we have to address racism when we see it. We have to teach our community, which is our family members, our children, our aunts, our uncles, everybody in our immediate community, and their way, if everybody is educating their community, whatever that community is, then and how to report it when we see it, then we will get better treatment. But it's not, the responsibility cannot lie on the patient.
Mm.
It cannot just because, again, I'm repeating myself now. I'm off my soapbox.
Well, that makes a lot of sense because, you know, like Jana, you were saying, sometimes people say things and get ignored. You know, you speak up, but then they just...
It's really interesting what Coco is saying, because this is one of the things I wanted to talk about today. It's not just the patience that are on the receiving end of racism. It's not just the patients who are on the receiving end of being gaslit, right? It's happening to Black and female practitioners, clinicians as well. I want to tell a little story. This is my personal story now from my life, okay? I went to see this gynecologist in my local hospital, and he kept trying to pressure me to have a hysterectomy.
Ooh.
Now, I did not need a hysterectomy. I did not want a hysterectomy. And I had tears going down my face, and I was going, I've already told you I'm not having a hysterectomy. Why do you keep going on about it? And he kept trying to pressure me, and I know there's loads of women who probably would have just said, okay, that's what the doctor says I need to do, so that's what I'll do. I'm sure, because there is this brainwashing that happens. No, it's not just the responsibility of the patient, but there is this brainwashing that many of us have been through that we don't question authority.
Yeah.
Right? There was no way I was going to allow someone to pressure me into a hysterectomy that I didn't need and didn't want. But if you remember, I think it was last month I was talking about the Mississippi appendectomy. But this is what used to happen routinely in Mississippi. This was the policy, was to sterilize people from poor Black families. And Fannie Lou Hamer talked about, she's the one, I think, who invented this term, the Mississippi appendectomy. But I've seen the same thing happen in two different London hospitals, you know, relatively recently. Within the past,
you mean when you go in one thing and you end up coming out with a hysterectomy, that was happening?
That's what he tried to make happen, yeah. He didn't know who he was reckoning with, right?
Mm.
He thought I was just going to roll over. I never just roll over unless I feel like rolling over. You get me?
Yeah. Well, you know, I have a friend who, she was very young, and she had had... She had two children, and she went to the hospital, and I think it was supposed to have been something like removing a fibroid, and she ended up, they just did a total hysterectomy. She didn't have anybody to advocate for her, and, you know, sometimes you got family members that just say, oh, well, the doctor knows best. She was young at the time and not aggressive, and not today, you know, she probably would sue because that shouldn't have happened, but... Back then, you know, like it's been said, we've been kind of conditioned not to question authority, and that's where
that's
a lot
right.
of the abuse comes in. Things happen and that shouldn't happen. And,
I agree with you, Coco.
You know, if we speak up, we might not have anybody to have our back and say, yeah, right, you did her wrong. We're calling our lawyer. You know, there might not be anybody to stand with you in that manner.
But
let me ask this question, Jana. I got a question for both of our doulas before I play the video from the birthing center. In a hospital setting, have either of you ever felt disrespected by hospital staff? Like, oh, you know, you're not a medical personnel. You know, what are you doing? I mean, have you ever had that experience? And if so, how did you address it?
Of course, I've had that. I'm shocked when I don't get it, and I don't allow it to affect my care for my client. This is a funny one. I had a client I didn't get until her ninth month, and she was delivering at Northwestern. And so when she told her doctor that she had a doula, we had been working together, you know, working on breathing and things like that. He said, "You're at the best hospital in the world. You don't need a doula. That's a waste of money." And so when she was pushing, he said, "Oh my God, you look like a woman with the epidural. I've never seen anything like this." Like, he was like in shock, and I allowed him to review me, although I knew that he had seated her with a bad taste about the practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the thing. It's one of the oldest practices that exists that because they know that, hey, if a doula's here, that means that's a great nurse is going to know that my workload is less. If it's a hospital birth, again, you know, you have different settings. But it's not
not respected everywhere, but there are some places where I have, they are just super, super sweet and super, super helpful. And then there's some hospitals where they just don't. But, yeah.
Mm. Wow. So, Viata, have you ever had to, you know...
I haven't had, most of the people I've dealt with lately are very cooperative and educated and not ignorant. Mm. That example Coco just gave was a big ego. Most doctors have an ego problem.
Mm.
So we, especially women, have to prepare to respond to ignorance and egos. Deal with. And I don't really think it's a race thing as much as it is a thing.
Yeah.
You, my friend here who went to the emergency room twice, she had to wait in the emergency room 8 hours. She's Caucasian.
Mm.
It was not race. It was about, they don't have enough people to serve her, first of all. Those people are tired. And the ignorance comes out when they're tired and they're short of staff, whatever the reason. I don't look at it as a race problem, it's ignorance. So we have to be prepared to educate. Just like Jenny, I love this about Jenny Joseph, the midwife here in Orlando. She is so calm and so prepared to respond to ignorance because she's had to deal with so much. So right away, she will educate ignorant people, just like Coco described. And if she's a dark-skinned woman, trained, experienced, businesswoman, whatever, and she knows how to respond to ignorance. And that's what I'm like her little student, ready to learn everything I can from her. Because it's not about, we don't have to be victims. We have to get out of the system. All the way back in elementary school, remember how we were trained to stand in line? If you got out of line, shamed and chastised, don't you? What are you doing out of line? Get back in line.
Yeah. That's some conditioning.
Even today, I see people driving, and there's two lanes, okay? You got two lanes that the cars can be in, and there's a sign that says in 4 miles, there's construction in 4 miles. Everybody immediately gets over in the lane, and you got this whole lane for 4 miles empty because all those little obedient students have moved over to the line, and they don't want to be shamed if they get out of the line. That's
right.
The programming we have to undo. This
right.
Program, even from childhood, where it says, don't get out of line, be compliant, do what you're told, blah, 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 blah.
Even
and when
even
it comes
it doesn't
to
make
pregnancy
sense.
And pregnancy and all that, that's out the door. Take back their power.
Absolutely. Well, I'm gonna play this video from this is from the Birthing Center, I believe, founder. Listen in and make sure our sound is up. And here she is.
So thrilled to be invited, but I was so moved.
Jenny Joseph.
By the opportunity.
Hold on. Let me try it again.
Hold on.
Jana?
Hello?
Having some technical issues here. I'm sure our switchboard doesn't... hold on, we're about to play this video from Jenny Joseph. Yes. So hold on, here we're playing it now.
First of all, I was just so thrilled to be invited, but I was so moved as well by the opportunity. The significance, I just can't even describe it, for myself personally, but for my family, and then for the work that I do. I wanted to come to be able to share that work. I wanted to express myself, have an opportunity to really let the audience know what's going on in the United States around maternal child health. Mothers are important to the future of humanity. Without a woman becoming a mother, there is no humanity. This is a cycle that does not stop. And our very future depends on us being able to bring new children, new life into the world. When we have these egregious harms and barriers and reasons why women are suffering in birth and pregnancy in birth and babies are not surviving, whether in the uterus or after they're born, then we have a real problem. This is our very future, and at this point in time, we're in dire straits. We need action. We need it now. We need it purposeful. We need it organized. We need it practical. We need it that we can do it right away or very soon, that the time for talk has not come to an end, but the time for talk now needs to take a back seat because it's time for action. There are very simple steps and measures that can be taken immediately to mitigate the situation. First of all, just understanding the problem, but secondly, coming up with practical solutions. Many of us have solutions to share. It's been so empowering to hear other people's ideas, to hear what they're in action doing, to hear what they want to do next. This is, to me, the inspiration of this forum. It's meeting other people and hearing how we can move forward right now. Like, the time is right now. When we do this ourselves, we've been working this way in my clinic for more than a decade, and when we do this work this way, women who would formerly be at ridiculously high risk, whether it's social or obstetrical, thrive. So taking those extra few minutes, finding ways to bring into the visit other supports, other pieces that would not normally be part of the usual pregnancy routines. Once we've got those in place, we find something really amazing happens, because now she's going to disclose, now she's going to feel comfortable, now she's going to follow instructions, now she's going to come back routinely. The compliance increases, the women are a partner in with you, their families then join in, everybody wins, and oddly, everybody goes to term, babies are born at healthy weight, women are breastfeeding. It's not that complicated.
Hmm. So I think what she promotes is a partnership.
$1,200, $5,000, and this one is $3,000.
She's not doing it by herself. She has a team, and those team members are not all black. There are women in there of all different races and cultures. So it's not a race thing with her. It's about getting the job done, getting the solutions out there, promoting healthy pregnancy and delivery by teamwork and partnership. And that's where we are today. We've got to get out of these systems, these broken educational systems, medical systems, and so on, food systems. We've got to get out of these broken systems and create partnership, teamwork to build up a strong birthing centers for women of all colors, because it, no matter what color you are, if you're bringing out unhealthy babies, and that's a drain on our community and our system. So we got to work together in the communities we live in to build healthy birthing centers for women and get them out of these broken hospitals that are all business and drugs. Pharmaceuticals run the hospital. So if you want to be drugged up and promote drugs for you and your baby, then that's where you go. But then if we offer alternatives, this is a center that is not going to be doing a lot of drugs. We're going to help you in every way we can naturally, in the bathtub, whatever. That's where we are.
Speaking of bathtubs, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
Because there are situations and scenarios where Western medicine is effective and saves mothers and children's lives.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, there are options, but with high risk, it is the place for a mother to be if that is going to save her life and that baby's life, and she needs to be in the hospital. But having other alternatives is definitely a solution to the problem. But let's not get rid of the hospitals. You know, they just need to work more effectively for all patients.
And that's the doula and the midwife's goal, is to reduce the chances that they have those emergencies and that they have. Oh, it's not going to eliminate it, for sure. You're right. We're not going to eliminate those emergency situations where they're going to need a doctor or a nurse in a hospital setting. But if we are with that woman spiritually, mentally, physically, helping her nourish her body all the way through that pregnancy, help her nourish her mind and her spirit, then we reduce the chances of her having to go into a hospital. But, yes, we don't eliminate it totally. You're right.
Well, I got a question right before the break, and I'm going to give you all a chance to kind of reflect on it. A lot of us have grown up with the thought, the religious teaching, that women are supposed to bring forth life in pain because it's a punishment by God for Eve disobeying and all of that thought. So the thought and the expectation is that childbirth is supposed to be something you suffer through. And as a result, maybe this is why some women choose to take the drugs or get an unnecessary cesarean, because they believe that there is no painless childbirth. And yet, you know, I didn't suffer through mine, and I'm sure that, you know, as doulas, working with midwives and all of the things and all the knowledge that you have of natural care of your body, that childbirth does not have to be painful. So I'm going to take a break, but I want to, when we come back, I want to talk about this mindset that we've been given, that we're supposed to suffer through it, and has that influenced our belief, maybe even our lack of prenatal care, our lack of preparation, or even our lack of trust in someone who is not speaking from the medical profession drug point of view. Just that thought that we've been indoctrinated with, that we're supposed to suffer in childbirth. We'll be right back after this break. And I want to remind those who are listening online, if you want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 so your number lights up on the switchboard. We know you have something to say. We're talking to Jana live from London, and we're talking about success strategies. And today we're looking at gender and racial health care inequalities, and how can we take back our power as women over the birthing process. We'll be right back after this last break, so we want you... they can stay. Don't stray away. Be back in a moment.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it, race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Hey, we're back.
We're back. And you're listening to and watching.
Questions or comments about the film?
Yes. So we as women have been conditioned to think that childbirth is this horrifying, painful experience and a punishment from God. And yet, there are some women who go through this process, and it is not one of suffering and, you know, blood-curdling screams and all of that. And I'm thinking if we took the time to learn a bit more about our bodies and maybe some of these techniques that our sisters here have employed to make the birthing process an easy, comfortable, non-traumatic event, then maybe we would survive more. And I think also maybe we would have more knowledge with us when we do go into a hospital, so that if a doctor says something that we don't feel comfortable with, we can counteract with our own information. So I don't know, I want to get you all's thoughts about that, just the overall belief that we're supposed to be in pain when we give birth. And Coco is sharing with us that she did a doula story documentary. She did the narration. We can find it on YouTube, which I think is probably a good teaching tool.
Absolutely. After I finished my training, I wanted to mention this, and I want to address your question as well. I was trained at Health Connect One, which is one of the leading agencies that trains community-based doulas. And how I got into the program, I had been a doula for somebody. One of my girlfriends said, "I want you to be my doula." And I was like, "What is that?" And she's like my labor and delivery coach. So at this particular birth, and he's actually 21. He just graduated from college.
Wow.
Our first doula baby.
Doula baby.
Yeah, I have doula babies. And they're different from God kids. See, when you have God children, you got to buy them stuff. But the doula babies, you don't have to do nothing but just love on them. You don't have to do nothing
got my money,
but love on them. It's like, that's a real godmother. Like,
yeah, just give you love.
So, Health Connect One goes all over the country training community-based doula programs where women are salaried, and they have clients, and then they also set up and have doula support groups, because as you experience the birth, you have to process it just like the mom. And so I have a midwife that I call after I have a very difficult birth so that I can process it with her and me reevaluating my work and my best practices and things like that. It was something else that was on the tip of my tongue that I wanted to share about Health Connect One, about the documentary. So immediately after, now I was the person in the training that was crying the most. Like, I think maybe one other person cried at some point, but I processed my birth trauma in my doula training.
Wow.
So I was shocked when they asked me and offered me a position to be a doula trainer. I was like, I'm not qualified. I've just got started.
I'm
like,
all emotional.
What? And so then they were like, well, we're going to do a shoot a documentary. You want to be a part of it. It would be great to film a new doula and a veteran doula.
Mm.
And I was like, I'm moving to Los Angeles because I'm also an actress and musician.
Oh.
So I had already had set and had planned out this whole big move across the country, which I did, and then eventually did come back here and still doing both things. But then when they wanted for a voiceover artist, somehow that came up in one of the conversations, and the producer remembered, yeah, you said that lady that was a doula was a voiceover artist, and so I feel good that I'm a part of it. But it was definitely for somebody else to participate in that as opposed to me. You know, the universe is always divine. I had been seeded just from family and actually had midwives who, you know, that at that time, and I just think it's just about how things progress, because now there's birth hypnosis. There are lots of things that can eliminate, and some women don't experience pain at all. That
yeah.
does happen. It's
yeah.
rare.
Yeah.
Very rare, but it has been told, and so, like, we love to share trauma as a culture, just people in general.
Yeah.
Love to just bond over trauma, and so they share these painful stories to a woman that's expecting, or to young women that's scared of, so that they don't have childbirth too early in age and stuff like that.
Mm.
And as time changes and we have the University of YouTube where you can learn about anything, you can Google and find out, you know, well, how is it that a woman can give birth without a lot of pain, and just find out the alternatives. And hypnosis is a wonderful alternative to women who want to have different kind of options during their process.
Mm, that's interesting. So under hypnosis, you could actually have a painless birth, you know, because
yeah.
you know, your mind.
And then some women I do know people personally who have had just not even under hypnosis, but have had painless birth, where it was just like,
yeah.
some women experience orgasms during birth.
I've heard that too. That's interesting.
Very
yeah.
interesting.
I mean, my childbirth, mm-hmm. it wasn't painless, but it wasn't painful. I had these little, you know, just a slight tightening sensation. I didn't even know I was in labor. You know, I had a doctor with my appointment. I had an appointment with my gynecologist, you know, and I think my water bag had started to leak. And I was like, well, I think I might be having a leaking water bag. And when he checked me, he said, you are dilated 5 centimeters. You better get to the hospital. You're about to give birth right now. So I was like, oh, really? Because I was expecting like these earth-shattering pains, and I was going to be screaming and all that. And it was none of that. It was just like every now and then I feel like a little, just like a little tightening of muscles. That was it. You know, I mean, my daughter came in this world just like her personality, just cool, always cool, you know, pleasant, you know. So I did not have that extreme pain that everybody expects, you know, childbirth to be. And I'm thinking that, like you say, maybe we scare our daughters because we think, well, if we tell them it's going to hurt, then they won't have sex, they won't get pregnant out of wedlock, and then we won't have, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, and I would add to that, it depends on your attitude about, quote, pain. I had terrible menstrual cycles when I was a teenager till the time of my first birth, so I knew pain. I would be vomiting the first day of my menstruation every month. So pain was like my friend, kind of. It's like, oh, pain again, here we go. So if a woman goes through pain in her teen years and early years, then she has some kind of relationship with, quote, pain. But then if we educate women about the state that their body is in, the health of their body, number one, is going to determine how much you feel pain.
Mm.
And two, your breathing. If you're nourishing your body 9 months, you're exercising, you're eating well, and you're practicing your deep breathing, you may not feel pain. What's that? I don't know what pain is because I know how to manage my body. So that's all part of the education of a woman that we don't get today, that system basically doesn't prepare women for the change in muscles, your contractions. What are contractions? Your muscles are stretching to make room, way for a baby, a head coming out. So that's part of the attitude that we need to train women about. No, it's not really pain, but your muscles are going to be stretching. Your breathing's going to help. The shape your body's in is going to make a big difference. All of that has to be incorporated now in our new healthcare birthing center.
So then also we have to be very careful about absolutes. There is no absolute of anything in birth. If there's one thing that I have learned, is that I was a vegetarian. I was a dancer. I even was substitute teacher for Tommy Gomez, who danced with Katherine Dunham.
Oh, wow.
Like, I was in the best shape of my life going into becoming pregnant and to childbirth, and I had my daughter with facial presentation, so she wasn't coming all the way down. That means she was like this.
Oh, wow.
And it was going to be painless whether I was a vegan, a wheatitarian, a fruitarian, a pescatarian, or a meat eater. And I know meat eaters who have had painless birth. So there's always this unicorn. There's always this absolute, this part of the fraction that we don't know. And that what we have, because if we offer, this is going to give you that result, we end up, what if that mother doesn't have that result from all of the education that we gave her, all of the nutritional education and support that we told her to have, that it's going to result in this and she doesn't get that, because birth is unpredictable. We prepare, we write birth, we help them design their birth plans so that they can have the outcome that they want, but there's always an X factor.
And then that's, my dad always said, expect the unexpected. So, yes, I absolutely agree with that. If you expect the unexpected, then, yeah, all that preparation is good. Good, strong body, breathe, attitude. And then let's not leave out relationships.
Yeah.
If you got a bad relationship with the man who put that seed in you and he ain't around, you better adjust that attitude before you start giving birth, because that's a contraction, a not relaxed situation where it could create more tension and more pain. So relationships with the father of the baby, as well as your support system, all of that is part of it. It's an equation of healthy pregnancy equals this, and a healthy delivery and birth equals this, and relationship is a definite part of it.
So one of the things, Jana, that I look at when it comes to taking our power over our bodies, and I do agree with our earlier caller about us preparing our children to go into the medical field, but I think we also have to create institutions like the birthing center. We have to hold classes. We have to teach our young girls. We have to change the way we think about women's health and about our own health, because a lot of times we're either being shamed about our bodies or we're being ignored. We have a problem and made to feel like we don't matter. So I think the first step is for us as women to set a new tone, a tone where we teach our daughters to feel good about whatever body shape they have, whatever state their body in, feel good about their sexuality, feel good about the prospect of motherhood, feel good about pregnancy, however it occurs. If this is a baby that the mother decides they want to keep, feel good about it. And I think all of the things that would go into a healthy birth experience emotionally, we should be ready and willing to do, because this is going to make a difference as to the kind of people that come forth out of the next generation of childbearers, so that we're not constantly traumatizing children. I mean, I look at a lot of things how many people got friends that got an elongated head because they were pulled out with forceps? I mean, you know, a lot of different, you know, not funny, but, you know, a lot of procedures that come from doctors who don't have sensitivity to women being too impatient, just like, you know, want to give you a drug to hurry up the contractions. Well, you know, some people take a while to get here. I think my mother-in-law said she was in labor for like 3 days. We don't want that. But
I think there's a level of sensitivity that we have toward ourselves. And like Coco said, her daughter had a whole team of powerful women. Just think of the vibration that that baby has coming into this world, knowing you got a whole group of people rooting for you, looking out for you, welcoming you. That's how everybody should be born into this world, with love, with support, with encouragement. We can do that, and we can make sure that we're there in those hospitals to give that vibration to that child coming into this world so that there's not trauma, there's not excess drugging, there's not bad procedures or unnecessary cesareans just so they can get paid from your insurance. You know, we can do that. So I don't know, what are your thoughts on that, Jana, in terms of us setting a tone for how we want women's health to be taken care of?
Yeah, that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. We need to set the agenda. I don't know if you're aware of this book that came out in the 70s called Our Bodies, Ourselves.
I've heard of it. I don't remember who the author.
There was a couple of women that called themselves the Boston Women's Health Book Collective. And they went around and they talked to doctors and they asked questions about everything to do with female health. And then they brought out this big book, and basically everyone had to have it. Everyone had to read it. It was so good. And they said a lot of the time when they'd be talking to doctors and asking questions, particularly about female reproductive health, the doctors would say, you don't need to worry about that. You don't need to worry about that. You don't need to think about that. Leave it to the doctors.
Yeah,
that book really created a revolution, because that's when women started questioning their doctors, asking questions, wanting to know the answers. You know, that was like a little revolution. It sounds like we need another revolution here. I want to just gently remind everybody that when I was talking about racial disparities, I was not just talking about childbirth. I was also talking about a whole range of medical issues, including cardiac health, including the pandemic, COVID-19. You know, it's not just in maternal health when we talk about these racial disparities, but when we talk about the death toll at 3 or 4 times higher for Black women than it is for white women, that's something that we have to pay attention to. We must be aware of, and we must put a stop to this, because they're aware that it's happening, right? They've collected all these statistics, so they're aware that it's happening, but they're not doing anything about it.
So it's
up to the communities to do something about it. It's not, we got to stop depending on these systems and institutions to solve our problems. We have sovereignty, and in every community is different. So we need to establish for programs in every community, get together, get a support system, get partnerships going with the local businesses, whatever we need to do. We know there's a problem. Now we're going to work on the solution. As Jenny said, it's time for talk is over. We got to take action now in every community. Start building our first centers in every community.
So does that mean also directing more children to go into health care, into being doctors? And I think even the healthcare industry needs to be revolutionized. If we're sending our children to be doctors, we also need to equip them with greater knowledge on natural healing, because the medical industry is geared to steer them toward the pharmaceutical industry, which, like Viata said, is a business, and all this unnecessary drugging is to make somebody some money. So we need a new kind of doctor coming out of our community, the holistic healing kind of doctor that's in it because of the love of life and not just to make a profit and, you know, buy a big house and fancy car, but they really do love people. That's what I think.
Yeah, well, you know what? There's loads and loads of forms of energy healing that are incredibly effective. All these things that the doctor says are incurable, it just means the doctor doesn't know how to cure them, right?
Yeah.
Just means they're incurable. Anything can be healed. Everything can be healed.
This week, who came out of the surgery of my friend, and I asked her, what is the spiritual message when you go into a person's body? What do you see? I was really surprised and shocked. She said energy. She said everybody's energy is different. And I'm like, whoa, we need to take that and run with it. It's all about energy, as if we didn't know that already. But, yeah, it's all about energy. So our emotions, energy. where we need to heal. Most of us need healing in our emotions and our history of traumas, and that's what's going to heal the whole maternal toxic zones. Work on the energy in the maternal toxic zones. Not every community has maternal toxic zones. There's probably a lot of women have healthy births in some communities, but where are the ones that are toxic? We need to focus on those and change that.
I guess the fiscal budget was run by the YMCA, and they were, I think they were established about 35 years ago because they had discovered that on the west side of Chicago, where we have all these medical giant hospitals like the Cook County Trauma Center, Rush Presbyterian, the University of Illinois at Chicago, that the infant mortality rate for women of color was that of third world countries.
Ooh.
And so I started working for them. That's how I became a doula, was because I was working with HIV and AIDS prevention and STI prevention, and that funding ran out. And so they got funding, maternal health child care, to train community-based doulas. That agency no longer exists. They come up, they do things, and then the numbers change, and then they die out. So we do need, and I agree with you, is that we need longstanding institutions that are not necessarily controlled by dollars that can come when the crisis is at hand, but they're not sustainable for staying in the communities and providing those services.
Yeah, we need self-sustained institutions so that we don't have to worry about funding being cut and then the program ends. We need to sustain it. So that's the state of unified collective thinking that we can create if we have a plan and we know what the plan is. The plan is for us to live long, healthy lives and be in a state of wellness, and our health care systems be about healing, not just profiting from people's sicknesses by giving them ongoing treatment. They have to keep paying people. That's a goal. And I'm not in the wrap up. Any last words before we go? And I think we've got a little bit of background
Noise.
But we're about to go. Any last thoughts or hopes that we can work toward to remove this problem and empower ourselves?
I want to say thank you to my guest, Coco Elise, and Viata, and of course my executive producer, Naima. I think you've all raised some very important, useful points today and pointed us in the direction that we need to go in, which is self-direction. We need to take responsibility for bringing about the changes that we want to see. So thank you very much, all three of you.
All right.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, ladies, for sharing.
Yes, and thank you so much. It's been inspirational. Well, we will see you all back here tomorrow for Soul Purpose Healing with Viata, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Female Global Radio TV show.
We've come
until that time.
Today, but you can hear every show in the archive at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato.
Korea, 감사합니다. Russia, спасибо. Germany, danke. Poland, 정크뇨. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, tashakor. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.